want to tell you, I can take half of my notes and just put it down. Because we've already said it in the songs. Amanda has already said it through the communion. And now you're going to listen to it again. Definitely, definitely, he's got an appointment with us. And I want to tell you this morning, even if it is for one, it is worth listening again to the same word that the Lord has already confirmed this morning through the songs, through the communion, and through the word that we're going to bring. So, how can we ever doubt him? How can we ever imagine that he's not faithful? Look at this. I mean, three times now he's confirming the same word. God is love. He redeemed us by love. That he died for us so that we can be set free from fear. So, today we live in South Africa. Our nation is celebrating Freedom Day. It is a political freedom, and we celebrate today because we are part of this nation. And even if our heart does not agree with many things, there's no way that we can change who God appoints in a certain time, in a certain place. And for us it is to pray for the elections, to pray that God will release fresh new men with godly authority into positions. They don't have to be the president. But when God moves people into key positions, we will have a very strong opposition, and that will change the destiny of our nation. So, I'm not going to talk to you about political freedom, though I've studied international politics and political science, so I love to talk about it. But I'm going to talk a little bit about a freedom that is only in Christ Jesus. And many of the things that you're going to hear this morning, you've definitely heard me saying it before. But this morning, I'm even saying it to the people sitting in these chairs, which are empty. Because we've been praying that people will come and they will be filled. And we believe that matter has memory. And as they sat on the chairs, the word of the Lord will rise up within them and they will believe. So if you've heard me before, I'm also preaching for those empty chairs next to you. Amen. So, Donnie was, twice in his prayer, he was actually talking about eternal life. One of the songs that we sang said about eternal life. And I just want to read again from John 17. And this is eternal life. It means to know, to be acquainted with Jesus, the only real true God, and likewise to know him as Father, the one whom he has sent. This is eternal life. Many of us talk about the rapture, and we're actually getting ourselves ready for it. But here in John 17, verse 3, the Father and Jesus speaks and they say, this is eternal life, to know the Father and to know the Son. And this is not just for us to have it in our heads. The main purpose is the Father wants it in our hearts. Because as we spoke about fear, depression, and everything, knowledge in the head of God will not take your fears away. But a revelation in your heart of the truth of the word will totally expel fear from your life. And so this morning, I'm really going to talk again over that which comes natural to me, and that is the amazing love of the Father for us. And I want to share a little bit about, we've been on holiday, And suddenly, as we were doing certain things, I just realized, you know, we would have never been able to do what we're doing right now unless we had the revelation of the Father's love for us in our hearts. And during our holiday, Dorf treated me in Tsitsikoma to do a treetop canopy tour. So you get into trees about 30 meters above earth, and then you just absolutely slide from one tree to another. And our instructor didn't really try to bring comfort to the people's hearts, because he was explaining to them, if you put your hand in front of the pulley, you're feeding your fingers to the baboons. Now, I've got to tell you, we had people from Israel, Germany, and Austria with us. And as this instructor was speaking, you could just sense how the laughter changed into this. And suddenly the women were asking the men, which hand has got to be there? And how are we going to, you know, and do you think this is right? And it was like everybody was suddenly so tensed. And I've got to tell you, why I could laugh was because I suffered from a fear of heights. I actually suffered from fear of anything. Darkness, dogs, name it. I suffered from that as a child. And here I was standing on this platform, and it is not very stable because most of the trees are 600 years old. They're very high, they're not stable, and as we move, the tree moves a little bit with us. And I was thinking about my mom. We one day visited the Voortrekker Monument, and even today she laughs when she said, when I look at your face, I was coming down the stairs at the Voortrekker Monument on my bum, because I could not look down, walk down, I had to sit and step for step go down on my bum. And then my husband loves flying. So we start off that plane, and I always ask him, please don't turn to my side. As long as I can look there, it's fine, but don't turn to my side. And it was really terrifying. But I realized, listen, he loves this. He's not going to leave it. And so I really had to make a plan. And I went to the Father. And I said, you have to help me. I have to rid myself of fear. Fear has tormented me all my life. Psychologists will tell us that when fear is out of control, you've got a phobia. Well, then I had a phobia, according to them, because I want to tell you, I was in this hostel here. And when I had to go to the toilet at night, I could sense somebody taking me in my neck. So I would run as fast as I could to my sister's room and jump right onto her in the middle of the night and breathe like, can you just take me to the toilet, please? And it's easy to laugh about it, but when you're there, that is reality. And many times we are impatient with children who are afraid of darkness or afraid of heights or afraid of dogs or whatever it might be. But I can stand here today and tell you, fear is a demon, because it never gives you peace, it never gives you rest, and it always, always keeps you from God, what God has got for you. And so part of what I want to speak about is, I had a wake-up call in my heart when in Hebrews 10:38, the scripture says, the just shall live by faith. But if he draws back and shrink in fear, God says, my soul has no delight or pleasure in him. And one day as I was reading this scripture, I just realized, you know, I got such an understanding of his love. But this fear is keeping him from delighting in me. And I realized I just had to do something. And I started out on my journey in the Word of God. For our battle is in our minds. But you know what? The enemy is also clever. He knows when he's got your mind, he will also have your heart. You will submit everything in your heart. And so I realized I had to fight for my heart also. And I was watching TV and I was listening to videos and I was reading books on different people, how to deal with fear, how to go there with fear, what to do and everything. But it was only when I realized that it is a demonic oppression and I have to handle it as that. It's not going away by saying, now you're not going to be afraid. Now it's going to be okay. It's not going away in such a manner. We have to acknowledge that we do not trust God. That is what is fear. We do not trust God. That's why we're afraid to die. We do not trust God. That is why we cannot believe His word. And why do we not trust Him? Because many of us has never learned to trust our earthly fathers. And so it's so hard to trust God. And so the connection with fear, with peace, with love, is all in the Father. And I had to really start cooking my own spiritual food and not live from other people's revelation. And the Lord really took me to a scripture in John, the scripture in John 17, actually from John 14. When we look at that, where Jesus, as he was speaking from John 14, all the time he was talking about, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe and rely on God. And then he says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. And then he says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and I realize truth I have, but I don't have any life because of this fear. And so eventually I had to sit with the word, and the more I was reading, where Jesus was just saying that anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And I really like Jesus a lot. I mean, when I came to salvation, I gave my life to Jesus. And everything that I did because of what I saw Jesus did in the Gospels. But when he said to me that, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father, something opened in my heart. And suddenly I could realize there's another person involved in my Christian walk. It is not just only me and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Father is there also. And that is why he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, a helper, an advocate, a strengthener, a standby, and he will be with you forever. And I realized Father cares so much about us that when he says, I will never leave you and forsake you. You know, many people will say, but Jesus, you've left us. But now he says, I give somebody who will never be with you. He says, he will actually dwell in you. That's a much better deal, don't you think so? Than just having Jesus. Now we've got the Spirit. And then as I went onto this journey, I read where Jesus says, if you keep my commands, my Father will love you, and we will come and make our home in you. This is to me so exciting. We sang about this great God. Now the word says, he comes, makes his home in me. How conscious do we live of that? Wherever we walk, wherever we enter, We come with that glorious light of the Father, of the Spirit, and of Jesus within us. And darkness have to flee at our presence because of the presence within us. But we fear darkness, and darkness actually have to flee before light. And as I was working through these things, fear actually became less in my life as I realized Jesus said that darkness cannot overwhelm the light. And so as I was beginning to put this into practice and I was walking down that passage, I was saying to myself over and over, darkness cannot overwhelm the light. The light of Christ is in me. Therefore, I can walk calmly. Nothing can come near me because the darkness will flee before the light of Christ. And there's thousands of stories that I can actually tell you how the Lord totally, totally set me free from not only the fear of heights, of darkness, but all kind of fear, eventually also the fear of death. And this is a journey. So I want to say to the people this morning who battle with fear, the main reason why we battle with fear is because we don't know who we are in Christ Jesus. We know we're a child of God. We know we're sons of God. But if we really know who we are, we will realize that the enemy cannot touch us unless we open that gate. And that gate is in our minds. That is the gate of hell. It's not somewhere else. It's in our minds. The moment we agree with the thoughts of Satan, we've opened the gate of hell. And that is why it is so important for us to know who we are in Christ. And when Amanda said, talked about again, Jesus took everything upon him. I'm again going to speak about the story about the calf, because once we understand it and we will hear it by repetition, Paul says we will make it our own. I've told you, when Dorfus got a calf without a mum or a cow without a calf, we slaughter the dead calf, put the skin of the dead calf on another living calf. The moment he takes that calf to the mother, which is not the mother, it's now the stepmother. The moment it's the adopted mother, the moment he takes that calf and the mum smells, what does she smell? The dead skin of her baby. And that is why she welcomes that calf. She starts licking that skin and the calf can drink from that mother. Now that is exactly what Jesus did on the cross. The Father took us, as we can say it like this for understanding, he took the skin of Jesus. He covered Donnie, every one of us, with the skin of Jesus. He saw all the sin. He saw every disease. He saw everything upon Jesus. And now when I come to the Father, I don't come as Sulia, who haven't prayed this morning, who haven't read a Bible for a week, who has had ugly thoughts. I come and the Father looks at me. And what does he see? Jesus. And that is why you are accepted. You're not accepted because you're Oleg. You're accepted because of the blood of Jesus. You are accepted because of the righteousness of Jesus now covering you. His righteousness. We become the righteousness of God in Christ. And why can we now boldly come to the throne? Because of Jesus. So when we walked through. He says, now you can cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. Why? Because of Jesus. The blood cleansed, washed, purified. So that is only why you can have no guilt, no condemnation. The world teaches us it's only the one who comes first who gets the prize. The world teaches us it's only the one who is recognized who can stand on the stage. The world programs us that if you've got money, you will be happy. Because money can buy cars and everything. And that is why we think in the Church of Jesus, I have to perform and be first. I have to compete to be accepted. Why Jesus and the Father is just saying, come. Come just as you are, come. And I want you to have that picture in your mind. Whenever you want to step out in faith to do something for the Lord, I know the enemy. He comes and he says, have you prayed? Have you read? When last did you fast? And you decide, I'm not going to pray for that one. I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. Yes, you're right. You're not. But because of Jesus over you, you are worthy. Because of Jesus, you can step out in faith and you can lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. Because of Jesus, you can say, come and have life. Fear death no more because you can explain it. It is through Jesus. People, we have to understand in the days that we're living that we are accepted in the beloved Jesus. That is where you are safe. He says, I have totally covered you. The enemy cannot get you anywhere. I have you totally covered. And only sitting with this word, reading it through and through and through, will actually set us free from fear. And I want to ask, what is the antidote for fear? Love. It is not courage. It is not bravery. Love. In 1 John 4, he says, perfect love casts out fear. You don't have perfect love, but he has got it. The Father has got perfect love. And so when you understand how much you are loved, fear falls off. The enemy is defeated. So whenever fear comes, ask yourself the question, do I understand how I look right now? How is the Father looking at me? What does he see? And then you will realize that you do not have the revelation, if the fear stays, that you are accepted in the Beloved. Nothing can stop us. Nothing can stop us. Because of Jesus and because of the Father. I just want to read a small portion from Luke 15. We all know the parable of the prodigal son. But I want to go back to that again because I really believe this is part of setting us free. There was a certain, all of us know the story, is a man had two sons, and the younger one said to his father, give me my property that falls to me. Now, the scripture does not say he was an evil young man or he was naughty young man, or he was a rebellious young man. It just says he was I want to believe a normal young man who was challenged by life, and he realized I can't do anything without money. So if he could ask the inheritance of the father, he could have money and he could go. And that is actually what happens. And then we know how he wasted all the money and eventually ends up in the pigsty. And this is important. That he came to himself. And God can never set you free from anything unless you came to yourself. Unless you acknowledge, I have a fear. I have depression. I have anger. Whatever. This man, this young man, he came to his senses. And he said to himself, I will get up and go to my father, and I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your hired servants. So he got up and he came to his father. But while he was a long way off, the father saw him and was moved with pity and tenderness for him. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son was saying, Father, I have sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I do not deserve your recognition. But the father did not listen to what the son was saying. He actually just speak to his servants and says, quickly, bring the best robe, put it on. Give him the ring and the sandals. Bring the fattened calf. For this son was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And you know, when we say to people, come to the Father, people think of the earthly dad. If they've done something wrong and they want to approach the Father would say to them, wat het jy nou weer gedoen? Ek het jou mos gesê jy moet nie dit doen nie. But this father didn't say anything to the son to make him feel guilty. Can we see how we can feel unworthy and how we want to bring that unworthiness unto other people? We attract what we put out. And so this son was so unworthy. He felt so unworthy. But that father put on him a royal robe. Again, that is what happens to you. You come to the Father. Father, I'm so unworthy. I am a sinner. And what does he do? He put a royal robe on you. His son's robe. He put that on you. And he doesn't even listen to the words that says, I'm not worthy. Because what we actually say to God when we stand and say, I'm not worthy, we are actually saying, God, you have to abdicate your fatherhood. Because you are forever a father. But if I want you not to be a father and that I'm not worthy, God can never do that. God will always be a father. No matter how we come, he will be a father. And I want you to know today, when he's put that rope on you by being born again, you are worthy. Don't you dare come to the Father who have paid such a price with his son with unworthiness. Come worthy. Say today with me, I am worthy because of the son. I want you to write it on your heart. Because the moment you know that you're worthy, Satan cannot torment you. He will not even try because he sees the blood. He sees the royal robe. And he will not try to torment you with his lies. And you see, in church, we learn to be, not in church, we ourselves, because of being unworthy, we learn to be like the eldest brother. The eldest brother saw this party going on. And what does he say? It says, verse 28, he was angry with deep-seated wrath. And he resolved not to go in. So what happens? The father, with Jesus in him, humble himself again as his servant, eventually walks to that eldest son. The eldest son did not humble him to come to the father. It was the father humbling him, going out to the son. And what does the son say? These many years I've served you. I've never disobeyed you. Yet you never gave me as much as a little kid. But when this son arrives, who has devoured your estate with immoral women, as if he was present to know exactly what his brother will do. Does that sound like us many times? We come to conclusions about people, and we put things on people that we don't even know whether it's the truth. It is all because of our unworthiness. It's all because of our self-righteousness. You think, it's because I was good that I became born again. It's because I'm doing good works that I am blessed. It is because I am not such a bad person that God can send me here and do to me that. It's a lie. He came to the Father with accusation. He came to the Father to tell him how hard he's worked. And that is the thing that we have to live in. You are accepted, whether you've worked hard or not. You are accepted, whether you have wasted the money or not. You are accepted because of the blood of Jesus. And so I really want to just speak another little thing about the fear in us. It is important for us to get a picture of the Father, to realize how he feels about us. Because if you do not understand that he truly loves you, you will never feel safe with him. And how do we learn that? By taking risks, by in a way challenging the Father and see how he responds to us. Challenge his love. There's a scripture in Isaiah say, come, let us reason together. Put your merits on the table. This is the God of the universe speaking to us like that, inviting us, come, reason. Never flee from the Father. Flee to the Father. You can reason with him as you reason with your wife. Flee to the Father. If you seek your peace and your joy and your life outside of trust in the Father, you will seek all your life. It cannot be found. You've been created for an intimate relationship with the Father, with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And intimate means every day. It actually means every second of every minute of every hour of every day. Your heart's got to be connected with him. So when the Holy Spirit whisper, you're already here to respond. And that's not going to happen overnight. But when you set your heart to find the Father, you will find that what you've been longing for all your life. Nothing else will satisfy. Okay. So I just think this morning, as we've said, Jesus is the truth. Only the truth can set us free. He says we have to abide in the Word. We have to abide in Jesus. So we have to abide in truth. It's going to take effort from you. There's no easy way out. Don't think you're just going to deal with fear by reading a scripture or by praying a prayer. And that is the same with depression. That is the same with anger. That is the same with all darkness in our lives. We have to take the time so that God can reveal the scriptures to us. The truth, Jesus is the truth. The truth will set you free. The truth is who? Jesus. We have to spend time in this word. This word cannot lie. This word cannot tell us anything else but the truth. And you know why we can be so easily convinced by the enemy when he comes? Because the word is not in our heart. The moment the word is in your heart, when he starts speaking, you will, as Jesus, be able to say, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. But because we are so empty of the word, we mix up our own little concoction and think the enemy will flee with it. No, he does not fear you. He only fears the Christ in you. He only fears the Word of God in you. He only fears the truth, the revelation that you have. And the more the revelation increases, the more you become untouchable to the enemy. Amen. I think it is enough. Nobody agrees. Do you want me to continue? Yeah. So I just want us all to maybe, you don't have to stand.